soy morena, soy negra, apréndetelo, no te equivoques conmigo. Recuérdalo, oye, racista, ignorante, asúmelo, vas a tener que aguantarme.
Black is synonymous with African American specifically, which is not correct. So when you go to Puerto Rican, that also doesn't mean that it's not a black person. So you could be like, what the fuck? And he was just like, oh, and I'm looking at myself like, nigga, you sleep in a bed with me. How is it that you this ignorant? But if you this ignorant and you hear me talk about this all the time and you had to, he was like, I was 8 years old when I really figured it out. I'm thinking to myself like, how many other raggedy ass motherfuckers in these streets are out here making all types of like, and also like, my thing is, why are people not flaming the people in these selection committees? Because who chose these white people for black people things?
But it's not only, yeah, that's
who's gonna
that's,
be money for being a white person right now? I'm taking the coin.
That's I'm part of it too.
The fucking coin.
That's part of it too. That. So I have to hold space for this woman today.
Okay.
When she was like, I applied for that same thing and I got denied. And then for me to see her take up, all, like, I was like, and she's like, and I know, because she's also like a big, dark, scared, you know.
Yeah.
She's like, I know I've been denied so much access and opportunities because right. of how I appear.
Because we're not just talking about this. There's the anti-blackness. When you have anti-blackness, anti-fatness, anti-queerness, imagine right. if that all lives in one person.
Correct. And that's right? another piece of, like, this is all, like, impacting her right now as we speak at the same time. No, I was paralyzed. I was, last week, Thursday, was rough because I was reminded. And it wasn't only that. It was, like, the AUC just really, my time in Atlanta just really messed with me around this specifically. Because I also worked on a presentation with one black Dominican professor mm-hmm. who was a published linguist, and I can't remember if he was a dean or like an associate dean, but he was on top of the language department at Morris Brown before they lost their accreditation
mm-hmm.
right, and he was a black Dominican professor. He wrote the book Azúcar, which is a really great book that we should at one point review. He's deceased now. And then there was another professor from either Martinique or Guadeloupe, and he was a French professor. And the three of us worked on a study abroad proposal for the summer for the AUC to take students, instead of going to Spain, where they used to send their students to study Spanish, to go to one of the French islands, to the DR, or to Panama, to study French and Spanish, right? And we presented, we did the whole presentation, and this woman from the board, one of the boards, and I can't remember if it was Morris Brown or Spelman, because it was a joint board, they all used to come together. And she had this big hat on. I remember the hat. And she said, with all due respect, professor, and this is the dean, either the dean or the associate dean, for their children to go to one of these countries to learn Spanish, these parents want their children to learn real Spanish. And this is a black man from the DR. That's either the dean or the associate dean at an HBCU language department. And the board member tells him directly to his face that parents are not going to pay for their children basically to learn fake Spanish that he's teaching.
And these are your colleagues, right?
And these are the people that hire you. This is work. Yeah, I was a much younger person, right? So I'm in my mid-30s, early 30s at this time.
Right.
These people are in their 50s.
And that's the whole thing. That it's like we also miss room for the opportunity to recognize that we don't all gain language to be able to defend ourselves and our positioning at the same time. That we don't all feel like we have the capacity to be able to successfully curse somebody out in the at the same time. And that there's a whole generation of people that were taught as part of the work process that they needed to actually deal with some of this shit in ways that also perpetuated the problem, right? So that is, I think, part of the part, a huge part of the challenge as far as I'm concerned, that it's like, it gets this way and it's like, oh, it's how it's always been. So there are people who have been grandfathered into like almost like hazing as part of being put on, and they, all they know how to do is haze other people.
Mm-hmm.
And be able to be like gatekeepers, because that they be like, well, I was, you know, they didn't look out for me, so I'm not gonna look out for you. And it's like, I would imagine that also, like, what does it take to be a whistleblower in the academy? And also, my other question is, when, like, the conversation about like Afro-Latinidad is incomplete, because we talk a lot about from the blackness perspective, because that is our angle. But we're really thinking about the fact that the borders are porous. The borders are like fishnets. They got mad holes. And you know what? And there's a space where like everybody gets to have entry and access. And then we also create a situation where people are almost like, they're afraid to be like, because you know, I can't count how many people I've read that'll be like, I knew something was shady, but I didn't want to say because I didn't want to get accused of being racist. And quite frankly, that's a very real thing.
Absolutely.
And people be weaponizing like some of the shit to the point where we are also like continuously held in this chokehold, because then the people who actually have power want to be letting in everybody that they think is appropriate.
Absolutely.
And nobody says anything on that side, but the people who they don't think belong, they continuously get left out. And it's like,
absolutely,
a new opportunity to, it's not even an, I don't even know if it's an opportunity, but it's just a re, it's a requirement. It's like, for me, this is like, well, you know when like you watch a basketball game or something, or some sort of sports game, and y'all is like, bitch, we losing. We got to go in the corner and huddle. Like, I feel like I want to take all the black people and take them in the corner and huddle with me and be like, yo, whatever the fuck we've been doing, we've been trying to be nice to these motherfuckers. Like, you know when you try to go and be nice to somebody, but they don't want to be nice back? And then you realize, oh, you really want me to elbow you in the jaw. That's what you want. Now we can play this game. I've been trying to be nice.
That's what you need. That's what you need.
What you like, you need.
But the thing is, once you bring those things up, you're outed. I was part of a engineering collective, but it was only me and Sunyata, another black Panamanian woman in Atlanta, and everybody else was white. And the two of us brought up the racial issues that were happening within the collective. Oh, guess who was invited anymore to the barn raising? The barn raising is when we build antennas together. We just weren't invited anymore. Then we saw pictures. We were just kicked out of the group. And we just never knew that we were kicked out of the group. Just like that. But our pictures were used in a postcard, even though we were kicked out of the group. And we have to be like, no, we our pictures, we don't want them used no more.
Yeah, because your pictures prove to other people, like, oh, we have diversity.
Two people.
Right?
But we were kicked out. People were crying. We were like, no, people are walking around Mississippi without shoes, and white people with locks. You don't do that in Mississippi. Black people were complaining to us about their community because the Malcolm X folks were setting up a radio station, and we had gone into that community, and people were complaining to the two of us about the behavior of the other white engineers. And these are all like community engineers, right? All of us self-taught, self-learned, all that kind of good stuff. But only two of us around, and it was around like maybe like 20 people, 23 people at the most, a lot of white hippies. And then we complained. We brought the community's concerns up. White people crying and this and this and that. Of course, Jean-Bierre and Sunyata, the problematic ones, the troublemakers. And then we were kicked out. Never heard from them again.
That's exactly what it is. Like, I mean, and that's the whole, and you know what? And I think that the problem also is that there are so many centrist blacks that they don't even, like, I don't even consider myself to be like super extreme. But I know that I've been in so many places where I'm often like pivoted, like positioned as the most extreme one. And then what's really fascinating is that when things happen, then all of a sudden it's like, oh, you should, you know, like we should have listened to you, or they're using the same idea that I would have suggested. And when I suggested it, it's like, oh, we can't do that You're such a disruptor, Evelyn. Like, at work, it'd be like, oh, Evelyn is such a disruptor. Fast forward 2 years, and it's like, wow, we really, now disruption is a buzzword. And it's looked upon favorably. So now all of a sudden, it's like, wow, we should.
They're tapping you on the shoulder now.
But with no money.
Right, but the thing is that, well, you know, like, it was funny because I was saying how, like, niggas will fuck you up, and they will basically rain on your fire, right? And then when your fire dries up, they will blame you for not having fire, right? They will do everything they can possibly do to make you feel like you are, and that shit is very real. Like, that feeling that comes up when you are like, I'm doing this, I know that it's important, and you're feeling like you're not being supported, that eventually douses your flame, and then you're gonna turn around and blame me for not having no fucking flame. How does that even work?
You just summed up my life story.
Listen.
And the reason why I'm actually less on social media the past week, and people are tagging me. I'm like, don't tag me. Don't tag me to anything. Don't send me nothing. Don't send me nothing. And then somebody, y'all were talking about the white woman, the bombshell. Somebody on Twitter said, this would never happen at an HBCU. I'm like, what are you talking about? to the story that John Viev just told. I'm like, what are you talking about?
There's a white
woman teaching Afro-Latin studies at Howard. What are you talking about? Who, I had words with her. So what do you mean this would never happen at HBCU?
There's tons of very sketchy people working at HBCUs.
Listen. What do you mean? It was the black people that let her in, that invited the vampire in. You know how vampires can't come in the house unless you invite them in? Y'all left the door wide open. You said, come. You said, pass her.
And so don't be a fucking, and that's my whole thing. Don't be out here acting outraged when you let the motherfuckers in and you know who you kept out. Because the other side of it is that they are also letting people in at the expense of other people. And so don't be out here feeling, what you should feel bad for is all those qualified motherfuckers that you let out because you were trying to, you know, appease all of these people on one side. So it's like, you shouldn't be mad at her. You should be mad at yourself.
Yeah. Because the other thing is if those people who were qualified were let in or given that access, she would have been out in 2 seconds because somebody would have been like, hold on. Something in the book ain't clean. And it wouldn't have just been one or two. It would have been 20 or 30. Because I think it was a couple black Latinas that raised the suspicion and then brought it to the attention. And she did the article to beat them to the punch, basically, so she could control the narrative. But that would have happened faster had the right people been in the places where they were supposed to be in. But she over here with a Boston British accent. You saw that video? I was like, what is that? What accent is that?
Who? Krug? Jessica?
Yeah. I'm like, what?
Did I send you the article where I read that she missed her own mother's funeral because she didn't want to be outed?
Well, I read a couple. Yeah, I read a couple of the, you know, the round.
And sharing her PayPal?
Because, you know, black women, I'm like...
That's some bold shit. Missing your mother, like, all right, you crazy, you sent somebody, mind you, you sent someone, you requested money from them because they shared your content, which might not have even been your own original content.
That alone should tell you that you're not black, because I don't know why black people be doing that.
You missed your mom's funeral? What black person? Who?
Y'all had already talked about that white woman that got that grant, right?
No.
You that told one is the response that they gave, that the org?
No, what'd they say?
That is meant for people that work. They just made that shit up.
Well, it was a bunch of people dragging them in the comments, and then they gave some generic.
They just made that up today.
A clearly white woman.
For our workshop. No, this has given us a lot of
content. But the thing is that how we utilize that content is really important, right? Because the other side of it is, or another side, not right, not, there's multiple sides to everything and multiple ways to really process this harm. Because it's harm that is being done particularly, right. And the fact that it's harm that is done to
us.
Yeah, exclusively. And I think that we have an opportunity here to really, like, not just continue to address it, because I think that, but it's also to really, like, this is beyond, like, wow, that's fucked up. It's like, I need to give you a hug right now. There are people who really, like, need a lot of holding.
Mm-hmm. First of all, the recipient of this bilingual education research, Doctora Maria Estela Brisk for Boston College, receiving the Distinguished Career Contribution Award, and Doctora Maria Cody for Exemplary Contributions to Practice Engaged Research Award. For this was given to esteemed scholars of color. This woman looks like Mrs. Claus. That's first. That's first. How you imagine Mrs. Claus? White hair, white hair.
I love Dash. Dash, how can Dash put together, this is how Mrs. Claus.
And it's totally accurate.
Because I'm always thinking of, you know, in case people didn't see it, what she looks like, right? Something that people can identify. She looks like Mrs. Claus. And then everybody was dragging them in the comments. Everybody, like most of the people I know. And then the other one looks like, I'm trying to think of someone that everybody would know. A white woman with brown hair.
She looks like
a white woman with brown hair.
Like, wait, which one? Who are you talking about?
It's two scholars of color that got these awards.
Like one Arnold Schwarzenegger's wife.
Yep.
A regular white woman with brown hair. Like Ivanka Trump. Like a regular white woman with brown hair.
Ivanka Trump. Like any news anchor, USA.
Mm-hmm. And then everyone's dragging them, and then bilingual education research says, per our sources, we understand that both scholars identify as Latina. As we all
know,
right? No one cares. As we all know, identity is complex, and perceptions of society can conflict. Perceptions of society can conflict with how we see ourselves. I see a white woman. You see a white woman. They see a white woman. When they look in the mirror, they see a white woman. What do they think of themselves as white women from Latin America? What are you talking about? And this is the problem, this default. If you're from Latin America, you're of color. Says who?
And that's the thing. Instead of them saying, you know, we're taking people's concerns really, really closely to heart, and we're going to revisit the thing and speak to the awardees. No. Fuck you all. We're going to keep this.
And it's not even any ambiguity. It's not even like, if I saw, it wouldn't even be a thing of, oh, they're mestizo, right? Even that, but that's no, never mind. It's not even a thing. These are white women anywhere. And I responded, I'm like, oh, please. Latina doesn't mean someone is of color. It's not even an ethnic marker. It is no more than geography. This is a white woman anywhere in the world. Take ownership of your gross mistake and admit you don't know the difference between race and nationality. Sad.
It's and take the workshop. This is why I also like, yeah, I feel like, yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. And I think absolutely believable, right? Like, that's the other side too. It is both unbelievable and absolutely believable, because correct. It is exactly what has been happening forever in 2 days. So there's nothing fundamentally new there. And I think that the inability for these organizations when they, because the thing is that, what's the point of the dragging if the dragging ain't gonna cause change? Mm-hmm. Then it's just a whole bunch of outraged people being outraged with nothing else happening. Because at minimum, they could have been like, you know, if you don't want to, people disinvite defund shit all the time.
All the time.
You know what? You don't want to do that? Then fucking put more money toward it. Put a specific fund that is for people who clearly ain't white.
Exactly.
Like, at minimum. But I think that there's also, like, a space where people are constantly taking. I'm going to just start applying for white people shit and then just be like, look, y'all motherfuckers, look, I'm white. My uncle white.
The thing is, we can, right?
Yeah. We can, because we have white uncles.
You know what?
All of us do.
Watch. When I mean, like...
Or a white neighbor.
Yeah, right.
I'm mulata.
We have a white neighbor. We have our last name.
People have referred to me as mulata, so I'm white. All
right? Right. I'm taking it, and I'm...
Afro-blanca.
Yeah, I'm Afro-blanca. What? I'm also indigenous descended. Let's go there, too. Let me sign up for indigenous stuff and see how fast they close the door in my black face.
And see, that's the whole thing that I'm like, you know what? If y'all motherfuckers, y'all listen.
I'm black passing.
Right. I'm black passing.
I don't identify as black. I identify as mixed. So
I'm black passing. And now you're going to have
Latina. I identify as Latina because you can't tell me what my identity is. Right? Like Evelyn was, you said the entrance is so porous, but yet somehow the entrance to whiteness is a brick wall. They don't let nobody in. I feel like we need to be doing that. Now, yes. Now we're gatekeeping. Now I'm gatekeeping.
Yeah. Like,
how you like that? We're supposed to accept anything. And they're out here playing in our faces, saying, oh, well, racism is a societal construct. Okay. Thanks, Einstein.
Well, then construct it in my favor.
Right.
Let it be constructed in my favor. It is a construct. I agree. And that's exactly why I'm black passing, mulata, no, multiracial.
Or just white. Mestiza. No, I'm Spanish, actually. My ancestors are Spanish. I'm entitled to Spanish citizenship.
I like it. That's the case.
Latin.
Because the thing is that all of this exploration.
No, not Latina. Latin.
All of this exploration cannot just end with exploration. What is the commitment, right? Because then you're still being like, I'm still honoring, and there's the hand-holding that happens all the time where white people get to stop their fuckery and their own time. Mm-hmm. I'm like, bitch, it's my time.
No.
I'm reclaiming my time by not even trying to wait for you to feel compelled to get rid of your fuckery.
No more grace. Like, no more grace.
No more grace.
No more grace for you.
I like that. Let me write that down.
No more grace. No more grace for none of you. None of you. If you're looking for grace, look elsewhere.
The thing with all this, though, the sad reality is that we don't control any of the resources. So we can say all this.
Right.
And at the end of the day, it means jack. Because we don't control any of the resources. So we can gatekeep all we want. And that's how race works, right? Because we don't decision make. We can decision make here, right? But we don't, that's what racism is. We don't have the power to control the resources that are allocated out there. And that's what fucking burns.
Well, the white resources though, right? Because
and some of the black ones too. Mm-hmm. Because the black ones are the ones that are allowing people in.
Mm-hmm.
This woman was at the Schomburg. That's a black institution.
Mm-hmm.
Making decisions, letting other people out. HBCUs, black institution.
But I think that part of, like, I get that and, yeah. Right? I mean, I think that, yes, there is power there. I often feel like people don't recognize how much power they actually have.
Yeah, that's part,
part of the challenge is that in order to prove, right, like we need to be collectively thinking, right? We need to reimagine, right? What is like a futuristic thought that we have? What are the futuristic thoughts that I have is that white people don't ever have to prove diversity in order to be able to be considered potential leaders. Black people do.
Yeah.
Right. So if I'm a leader, if I'm in charge, I have to show that I'm not favoring my people.
Mm-hmm.
And so it looks, and so I have to have white people to have power. White people don't ever have to do that. All the corner offices could be white and nobody's going to bat an eyelash.
Not a word.
In fact, if you only have one throughout the course of your tenure, then maybe you give it to like somebody whose grandparent was black, you look like a star. There's no losing there. Meanwhile, if a black person happens to make it to the top of a food chain and happens to hire a whole bunch of black people, But I'm saying, like, where are the people that are willing to do that, though?
Yeah, that's what I was driving at. Like,
where are they?
If there's enough of us that say no, we say no. Because they come from us, we don't come from them. They need us. We actually don't need them. In what you're saying and imagining futures, and if enough of us sign up to be about us, we can make it because we've been making it. And so this whole, the idea that what you said of, that we always have to prove multiculturalism.
Yeah.
To get to a place. I'm not about multiculturalism.
No.
I said black. I said black. Because then everything turns into people of color. I didn't say people of color.
Oh, right. You know, I've been saying that. And I've also been saying that I don't like Afro-Latinidad for that very same thing, because the shit is porous. And now everybody with one black ancestor 5 generations back wants to be like, oh, I'm Afro. No, yeah. Motherfucker. If you cannot say black, don't say you're Afro.
Because all of these transgressions are specifically anti-black. It's not anti-people of color.
Right.
It's right. Specifically anti-black. So I'm going to name black people. I said black.
And international white people, stop saying y'all not white. If you are, if you're fucking white, you're white. If you're, like, y'all need to go ahead and heal whiteness, which is something I say all the time, so that you're not afraid of it. Because why is it?
Dismantle it. Dismantle.
Just do your work. Go with the people.
Dismantle the violence.
Dismantle whiteness.
And that ain't got shit to do with me. That's your work. Leave me out of it. Don't tap my shoulder.
I don't want no parts.
Don't tag me. I said I'm mulata, I'm not white.
I'm Latin.
Right. Shit, you are, you know what? You transracial.
Transracial.
You trans fucking racial. Get it right.
Wait, but you saw the other one that it was another one that was outed a couple days ago.
Yeah, that she, you see,
and they always claim a North African. Is North African or Afro?
I can't listen. There's a whole leap of white Jewish women that claim North African and desert people and Arab descent, and a whole, I can't wait for the Palestinian revolt to happen, because once those Palestinians start pulling out the trapos, it's all over. Because so many white Jewish people have claimed Palestinianhood and Arabhood and Middle Easternhood.
It's like your people are from Lithuania.
Pardon? Literally.
You're from the Czech Republic. You're Eastern European. You have nothing to do with North Africa.
No, yes. No. And that's what people don't understand. Like, you can be white, right? And there's ethnicities, and you can have lived through war and all that kind of stuff. That doesn't stop you from being white. That's be white. But when people want to claim that they're of color because their people are from, like, the desert and North African and all this kind of stuff, but then they're not. People lie. People are just Polish, and they're saying that they're from the desert. People are just Polish. And they're saying that, or Italian, they're saying they're from the Middle East, or from Tunisia, or Morocco, and all these countries, or they're Palestinian. When those folks start pulling out, and there's a lot of them in academia, and I know firsthand, because I heard a lot of chit-chat throughout my time, in, especially in Toronto, people beefing. I can't wait. I have nothing to do with them because I have not. So era cosa de Middle Eastern studies. And Middle Eastern studies people, they know all that kind of stuff. I don't know all that stuff. But there's a lot of white people in Middle Eastern studies. I can't wait for that kind of stuff to explode. It's going to be fun to watch.
But I also noticed that it's a, like, 2 out of those, the scandals went to University of Wisconsin. I'm like, y'all churning out and manufacturing audacious line stepping whites.
Listen, okay?
Because also De La Fuente came out of there.
Listen.
And he already has that reputation from his students. He engages in the typical white terroristic fashion. with his black students. And that's not to discount his work, and I'm mad I even have to say that. Sure, do all the research you can. You research, good, great. You still shouldn't be at no top of no Afro-Latin nothing. And then empowering other white Latin Americans talking shit about Latin America needs to join in with Black Lives Matter.
So the woman VC, CV, just issued an apology. Or I don't know if it came out earlier on, but I just got it.
Anyway.
Next case.
Next caller.
Dismissed. Next case.
Unbelievable.
But you know, it's always they'll dive in here jet black, right? And put on like dark lipstick. Is that what it takes? I'm like, look at this Addams Family reject. Like literally, you look like Uncle Fester with lipstick. And y'all thought that was, you said, okay, yes, this will work. And they bought it.
I think the saddest part too is that, you know, like sometimes it's fucked up because I've found as a black person more than once, I would even go and say closer, somewhere between several and many times that I have had to unbelieve what I know to be true in order to keep my job or mm-hmm. keep, right? And that is, and so when those things happen, part of the pain is that I went against my own integrity. Yeah. That I knew that to be true in order to keep food on our table in some instances, and that other people don't have to make those same decisions. And that is unbelievably harmful and hurtful, because even after it's all said and done, now I have to look, now I'm looking stupid, and that person gets to kind of like brush themselves off. They're gonna end up with a book deal, but the people that co-sign them are still gonna be looked at like, you lying motherfucker, you know, you're still gonna get it. Because I know a few people that were like, now people are gonna question me, because they would have been like, we saw them together. I might have been felt uncomfortable to even like have that conversation, right? And that's a difficult thing. I certainly have had that situation where I've had to overlook things or just be like, I don't really know about this.
Mm-hmm.
And the personal guilt and inner work that I have to do, because I live in a world that tells me that in order to survive, I have to go against what it is that I know.
Like, inherently.
Inherently, like I have to know. Like blackness recognizes blackness. Right? Like, let's just be 100% clear that blackness recognizes blackness, and it's not about a phenotype. There's just energy that comes with being black, that even when people are not trying to whatever, right? There is like, we know each other. Remember like when I'm on Real Housewives, when Nene and Candy were like looking at, pointing at each other's eyes, we see each other. Like, we see each other. It don't matter if you're the palest light-skinned person with blonde hair. If you are black, and I'm not talking about the people that tiene de negro, because there's a whole bunch of tiene de negro people, because tiene de negro is not the same as negro, in my opinion.
Exactly.
And there's a whole bunch of people that are tiene de negro that are, like, co-opting, that are co-opting Afro-Latinidad, getting out here, making paper off of it, but then at the same token, no.
They're the negro.
You don't even get to their house.
Right.
You don't even get to their house because it can no son negros.
Because I don't trust you. Because I can tell you right now, I could move to Guatemala in my mom's town right now. As soon as I get off that fucking bus, they're going to be like, ahí viene esa negra. Like, that's just going to be it.
And we know that.
Period. No.
I can't get over that struggle, scrunch, gel, mousse. That one had. I'm like, you didn't, there's not even like a legit wave. Forget curls, because you're not even there. There's no wave there. You scrunched that hat out of your hair.
But did you see her like teaching dance?
Straight.
Did you see them teaching salsa dancing?
No. I haven't gone deep into any of this woman anything.
She wasn't teaching salsa.
No.
No, I think she was.
Yeah.
Teaching how to move your body back and forth across the floor. That's what she was teaching.
You're right, which is not the same. My salseros out there, I stand corrected.
Someone said, you saw Hips of Steel?
No, but wait a minute. I saw her Tinder, whatever dating app thing.
Mm-hmm.
I was like...
No, and you saw the tweet with the guy that was like, we match, and then she cursed me out for not being down for black people. I'm like, why did you swipe right?
Right.
Match. That's you buried the lead. How did you match with her, sir?
And why? Oh, I know why.
Because she's a white girl. With black hair. So maybe she got a black something. The one drop rule is killing people, yo.
Listen.
Because eso está bien cómodo llevar a mamá y papá a mejorar la raza un poquito, ¿verdad?
What was a U.S. black person? And I will say, though, a lot of U.S. black families, they don't play that white girl shit. They're like, don't bring... No. You're not bringing her here.
Listen. I had to have a real conversation with Sonari because you know everybody in his school is white. I said, let me tell you something. I'll get you all the lotion in the world. No, sir.
No, sir.
Right? I was like, get it together. I said, I was like, if that happens, you got to choose. I was like, then you letting me know that you choose this person over your mama. And you know what? That's
you
that.
Know what? I give it to you. More people need to be doing that, honestly.
I felt like I was forced to do that because I think that what the other thing that we don't realize is that the conditioning is so pervasive. I was like, why are all these, like, he was showing me, like, he was like, oh, I think she's pretty. And I was like, I said, let me get a paper bag. Right? And I mean, and it was just like, and I started to realize, like, the conditioning is very real, not just in terms of like your color, but also even like your size.
Yeah.
Like, you have to be a certain size, right? You have to have, like, big breasts. You have to... And it was just like, that's not okay. Like, you are allowed and encouraged to like people because you like them.
Correct.
But it's like, I almost feel like you have to be really intentional and assertive about the opposite, about, like, combating the conditioning that happens.
Mm-hmm.
Even like in infinite ways, like I was thinking, I remember reading something the other day where they were like, normalize not straightening your hair for special events.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like an interesting thing because I had never, I saw it and I didn't think about what that meant. Is like when people for special, you know, like graduation or whatever, be like, oh, I'm getting my hair pressed or like, yeah. Like I gotta take pictures, I'm getting my hair straightened. And so you start to realize like, wow, that's conditioning too.
Correct.
That's my biggest thing with beauty pageants. When you have black girls, they always wear their hair straight.
Yeah.
I'm like, you can't wear an afro. And I get it. I understand that beauty pageant world. And
it's white standards.
My biggest thing when Miss South Africa won, I'm like,
her hair. Her hair. Her hair was absolutely political and amazing and beautiful and perfection. And she won and she had them bitches upset. Sick.
Yeah.
Sick.
And she changed. Yeah. She basically started changing a path. Opened up a path.
Which is why I say that, like, there has to be room for people to take bold steps. Because when we win, we move the needle a little bit closer to the futuristic, to the future that we want to experience.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So we have to believe that one person, five person being like, you know what, I'm going to be equally as intentional to hire people that I fucking like that look like me. Even if I'm here for 6 months, oh well, right?
Yeah.
Like, what are the choices that we're willing to make?